Proverbs chapter 14. As we head toward the end of the chapter, Proverbs chapter 14. And we'll start in verse 30. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, and but the envy the rottenness of the bones. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Excuse me. No, something just came to my mind. If I don't write it down, I'm not going to remember. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causeth shame. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Though, as we get toward the end of chapter 14, we have this stuff going on about people that oppress people and the ruler and the king's favor. Then chapter 15 starts something totally, completely different, which I find amazing. But in verse 31, he that oppresseth the poor reproaches his maker. Now, we got to remember, this is written to, once again, to Rehoboam, and you can apply this to either male or female. And it says he, because remember, Solomon's writing it to Rehoboam, and so he's going to use the male pronoun. You know, it's always good not to refuse to do the rules that God lays down. And we have this thing of, well, I don't oppress the poor. Yes, we really do in the United States. Okay, I've said this before. I don't know if I said it here, but one of the things in the churches back in the 1920s and 30s, especially the 30s, when they let the federal government take over the responsibility of the churches, that was one of the biggest downfalls that showed up. It used to be the churches took care of the older folks. It was the churches that took care of the people that didn't have that were orphans. They took care of the people that got into trouble. Now we rely on the federal government to go and do the job that churches should be doing. The reason churches used to do that is because they didn't want to oppress the poor. They wanted to help the poor and show the poor there was something besides being oppressed, and we let that go, and that's not a good thing. The Democrats like to throw money at the problem. Republicans like to, how should I put this, ignore it. And it's one of those things, and Republicans say, well, we want to help somebody get out of it. Well, then help them get out of it. I was listening to the radio today, and they're just still complaining about in the city of Portland not having enough housing for the poor. And that there's problems. Well, until you deal with the mental issues, there's always going to be people on the streets. Well, I listened to Lars Larson's show, and somebody called in and said, well, I'm making $2,000 a month. I can't afford to be in a house. I said, $2,000 a month? You can't afford to be in a house? Then I got to remember that for Section 8 housing in the city of Portland, it starts at $900 a month. $900 a month for assisted type housing. I'm going to myself, what would you pay if you had to pay the whole thing? I'm hearing some of these oversized studio apartments are going for $1,300 a month in the Lakeson area. I'm going, a studio apartment, that means you have no bedroom. You have a living room, bathroom, kitchen, and door to lead yourself out. And $1,300, I'm going, but some people must be making some good money around here. And they're filling up fast, and you want to oppress the poor, keep raising the rents. And I guess Vancouver's getting just as bad, if not worse. And it's because everybody's floating out of Portland getting into Vancouver. Vancouver says, we don't have any housing either. And it gets to be oppressed upon oppressed. When I managed for Domino's Pizza, I had the highest payroll in the company, a 19-store franchise. I had no managers in training. Okay, some stores had two. I had none. See, how did the world of that happen? Not because of what I was getting paid. I paid my employees well. If they gave me my days off and they did the job I didn't have to, they got a pay raise. I was paying three of them a dollar more an hour than the average manager in training started in one that was about the same as manager in training. Not bragging, I just did that so I could have my time off and goof off and do what I wanted to when I wanted to. I didn't try to oppress them. I tried to make them be better than what they were. I trained them to do my job. I when people came into my store, they would say, can I drive here? When we got busy, they would send a driver over to help us, and he said, no, I said, no, you can't. said, why? And I said, you don't want to drive here to make money. You want to drive here for other reasons. And he said, he looked at me, he said, no, you don't understand. He said, you see the good time. You see when everybody's making money running out the door with the pizzas and stuff. I said, when that's not happening, they actually have to work. I didn't pay somebody to stand around and do nothing. I actually expected them to do something because then they can go from there and keep on going. We have this issue of liking to mocking somebody when they're in a bad state. Turn to Proverbs chapter 17. I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about the United States in general. You know, comedians and everybody likes to make fun of people that are down on their luck. Well, that's not a good thing. Proverbs 17 verse 5. Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker. And he that is glad at calamity shall not be unpunished. Now, I'll be the first one to admit that second part I have violated numerous times. Okay, how many people have ever laughed at somebody that, tripped over their own feet and landed on their face? Okay, I'm probably not the only one. That, he said, that's not really, that's a sort of a calamity, especially when teeth come spitting out and so does blood. Okay, or somebody's at the, playground in a school and the one kid gets off and teeter-totter goes, bam! Okay. Yeah. See, actually, people laugh. See, this is the stuff, you know, that's not a total calamity. Sometimes there's a whole thing called YouTube. You show all these videos of people doing things that they shouldn't. And you end up looking at it, no thank you. I end up spending too much time looking at that stuff. And you wonder why we do that, because it makes us feel funny. It makes us feel better. Second part of that verse in Proverbs chapter 14. But he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. We're supposed to have mercy. We're not to hold against them. We're not to sit there and make fun of them. We're not to do the things. We need to help them become actual productive members of society. Wouldn't that be nice? That everybody in the United States would have a decent paying job? Now, when the oil boom was really going good in the Dakotas, whichever one, North, South, whichever one had the oil, they used to have to pay their McDonald's employees $15 an hour. You say, why do they have to do that? Because nobody would do the job. They're earning a lot more than that going out in the oil rig for 6 hours a day. So McDonald's said, we got to do something, so they upped their wage. And that's a great thing. Wouldn't it be great where somebody who had to go pick fruit or pick berries had to be paid $15 an hour? Because there's nobody to do the job. And everybody would have a decent job. Nobody was on welfare. Nobody was on SSI. Nobody was on unemployment. Everybody had a job. Wouldn't that be great? That's what God wants us to do in a church. God wants us to help people get along. We need to have mercy on the poor. We need to help the poor to be better than what they are. Every place I've tried to work, I try to make people think about, okay, how can I make myself better? I don't care if it's teaching. I don't care if it's being a manager. I don't care if it's being a boss or whatever, just being a friend. I want somebody to be better than what they are. Why? Because it's never a good thing to stay where you're at. Brother Gabe was talking, he says he just can't stand just doing what he's supposed to be doing. He always wants to be bettering himself, learning different things about the trade, learning different things about God, doing things that make a difference. I like trying to help people to do better. Verse 32, the wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous have hope in his death. You know, we're driven away. You know what drives people away is they don't want to be told what they're doing is wrong. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 34. After 9/11, churches had a little bit of a boom in the attendance. And people started going back to church because 9/11 happened and churches started, they say, hey, people are coming back to church. That's a great thing. 34:16, I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away and will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. Now, I will seek. I will bring them back. I will bind. I will do the which is God that does it. And unfortunately, the churches, I'll say, made a mistake and did not preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were trying to make everybody feel good. The Joel Osteens and the Oral Roberts and all these other people didn't tell people what they needed to hear. They told them what they wanted to hear. You know, it's never an easy thing to tell people that they could be dying and going to hell. That's never an easy thing. And churches weren't telling them how to get to heaven. The thing is, God is the one that will change. Two good examples of the people that was driven away in the wickedness. How about Pharaoh? He got so hard-hearted. Well, as Pharaoh's considered it, I'm looking at it, Pharaoh's point of view, is he thought the tricks that Moses did, and he was looking at it as a trick his magicians did too. And he says, well, I don't care about that. And, you know, sooner or later, we know what happened to Pharaoh. Who remembers the story about Nabal? Okay, here's Nabal. He's a very sour, mean person. Even his wife knew what he was about. And you know what? He would never submit to what was supposed to be going on. He would never try to be a nice guy. He told David to go away. He said, who do you think you are? You're just this punk kid that going around and disobeying the king. And he kicks him out. And you know what happened? He, because of his wickedness, he almost got himself killed. That's never a good thing. Then the Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14. Proverbs 4:14. Enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. We were warned about this. We were warned not to go in the path. You know what happens when you start down a path? Sometimes you just can't turn around. Sometimes you get in that path. Who's ever been into the 8 caves around this area? Okay. I'm to say a little bit bigger than I was when I was 18 or 17 or 18. We're going to church. The college age people and a little bit beyond that. They said they were going to go on a trip and go to the 8th cave. So that sounds good to me. And I'm going, okay, that sounds interesting. I start going down this cave and it's like, it's getting smaller and smaller. And it's like, hey. And some of the smaller guys were starting to have issues. Said, are you going to make it? Yeah, what, you want me to get stuck? I'm sitting there, it's like, I'm not that big of a sucker. I ain't going first. And so if you can go through, I'll look at it, and no. And sometimes we just get in this rut, and we just can't get out of it. You can see that with people that go four-wheel driving. They get stuck in those ruts, and they just can't get out. And that's what happened to Nabal and Pharaoh. They got stuck in what they were doing. And we see that in Stephen Hawking and Madeleine Murray O'Hara. And these people, they just start denying God and whatever he wants us to hear. And they say, well, he doesn't exist. And it's not a good thing. And the second part of that, the righteous has hope in their death. Wouldn't it be nice to have hope in death? Wouldn't it be? Well, we look at that, we look at the righteous having hope in their death. It's a nice thing that we have hope in our death. Now, when most people are dying and they don't have Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they go out in a very bad way. Very, very, very bad way. And you hear stories about people being in the hospital and fire coming up their legs. And they'll be saying, oh, there's fire. I'm on fire. My legs are on fire. And you hear this stuff and you look at it, it's like, and nurses would go in there. No, sir, you're not on fire. There's no fire. It's up to my knees. I'm on fire. And you say, what's happening? Well, he's getting a taste of what's to come. God might be giving him a last chance to get saved. But instead of obeying God, they just keep going through this torment and going through this. We have hope in our death. Well, there's been many, if you've never read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you need to. Okay, it gives a real history of the people that died for Jesus Christ back in the Dark Ages and before that. And when they're being tortured and stuff, they're sitting there praising God. And they're sitting there, I'm sitting there, I can't remember who it was, but sitting there and they light the wood underneath them on fire because they're going to burn them to death. And God being his little comedic self, decides to make it rain. And the fire goes out. And the guy's sitting up there, light it again. I mean, hey, thank you, God. I'm glad it's not burning. He said, light it again. He wanted to go out, well, for lack of a better term, I'm sorry about this, in a blaze of glory. He wanted to go out with a testimony that he was not going to deny Jesus Christ. And he had the hope that he was doing that which is right. And so many other people, verse 33, wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of the fools is made known. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding. Now, wisdom, once again, if we go to Psalm chapter 14, verse 1, we don't have to turn there. We've been there many a times. It talks about the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Okay, if a fool says there's no God, somebody who's wise, somebody that has wisdom, knows that there is one God. And that is a difference between us and a lot of people, is we have one God. People in Africa, in India, and some of those other countries, they believe in multiple gods. They believe they're, you know, let's face it, in India, I guess there would be billions of gods. Every time somebody dies and returns as a rat or a dog or whatever, that's a god to them. Or, well, that's not really God, it's just your aunt and uncle. Well, why don't they kill them? Because they don't want to kill a god. Now, if I returned as a rat, God forbid you do that to me. Okay. Or make me a rat up in heaven, that would be funny too. You know, what did you do so bad to make yourself return as a rat? Why did you brag about your family that, oh, that's my uncle? What did your uncle do that was so bad to make him a rat? You know, it's like, come on, guys. There has to be certain things that go on. When there needs to be wisdom, we need to understand this. Last night, I had a great time teaching the young children here. Really had a good time. I always make all the children come up to the first two rows. And when we get more students than that, they'll be the first three rows. Hey, why? I don't want to yell. I don't speak as loud as I used to. My voice is not what it used to be. And I don't want to restrain it and do things that I don't need to and make the issues worse. And we were talking about God last night. Who God is, what God is. And for lack of better term, to turn a little Pentecostal, they got on fire last night. It's almost like they studied. They were answering the questions. Almost everyone was raising their hands, and two people that impressed me is Gabriel, for being as young as he is. He did a good job answering some of the questions. And Cole, very young in Jesus Christ, very young in being a new babe in Christ, but obviously, even with a Nemus or at least Silas and Tabor, whoever's been helping him, he understands a lot of stuff more than I would think he would understand it. It was great to see. And Lily and Libby were getting back into what they used to be before what happened, which is good to see. I like to see that they were just ready to go and they were answering the questions. Their parents are raising them to have some wisdom to know and understand who God is. You know, when I was growing up, I thought I knew a lot. Unfortunately, I didn't think I knew as much as I did. And sometimes, you know, I went to school in Pensacola, and a lot of people, all they do is spout out what Dr. Reckman said. I'll mention Dr. Reckman every once in a while about what he says and what he does, but I don't say, well, Dr. Reckman says this. You know why? Because he's not the fourth part of the Trinity, for one. Second one is, he's a man, he could have failed. And I use his commentaries for one reason, so I don't go off the rails. Everybody understand what I mean by that? I don't go off too far to the right or too far to the left. I try to stay center, and when I don't understand what you're talking about, flip, flip, flip. Oh, there we go. I just use him to make sure I don't do something silly or stupid so I don't have to be called down to the principal's office. Okay, if you don't know who the principal is, it's a guy in the blue suit that's laughing. Okay? I don't want to have to answer something and actually apologize. Yes, I will make mistakes. Yes, I'll put my foot in my mouth. But you know what? I try to promote Jesus Christ and God first and above all and for all and through all. Why? Because that's what it's supposed to be done. We need to know that there is hope in Him. We need to understand that there is wisdom in our hearts because of that. We don't have understanding. We don't understand what we've been taught and be able to apply it to our regular lives. There's issues. When I teach to teens or I teach up here, I want people to think about what I say. And think about, okay, he said this, but does that really mean what he said or do? I don't want somebody to take my word for it. That is the most silliest thing I've ever seen in my life. Okay, nothing against Pastor Stewart. Everywhere I've been, okay, there's always people in the church that what the pastor says, that is what it is. Okay? That's never a good thing. Because what happens if Pastor Stewart, God forbid, and if you get sick, I'm going to hurt you. Yeah, especially at a 2-hour notice. Yeah, when the pastor is gone, they leave, and it's never a good thing. And you know, you should pay attention to this pastor. Yes, you should listen to him. Yes, but you know what you're supposed to do when you go home? There you go. Study yourself. That came from the pastor himself. You study yourself. Why? So you can make sure what he said was true. You know, last time I checked, he's not the fourth part of the Trinity either. Yeah. Just if you don't believe that, ask him to read 1 Chronicles chapter 1. Or we can go to Nehemiah and some of those chapters are those names. I'm the same. I get self. I got a bigger Bible than this, but this one has punctuation marks and where you're supposed to split it, so I get a better chance of how to pronounce them. That you say, what's that? That's being wise. I'm not making myself look like a total fool. We need to know, like Pastor Stewart said Sunday night, which I had already had this typed out, written before he said it. We need to know when this was written, who it was written to, who it was written for. Why? Because if we can't apply it to our lives, we can still look at it. All Scripture is given by inspiration. We can use everything in the Bible, we just gotta apply it correctly. I've mentioned this previously in the last couple of chapters, especially that some things did not apply when Solomon was king, when Rehoboam was becoming king, and it doesn't apply today. So, but can we use it? Yes, sometimes we can use it. Yes. That's what God wants us to do, is actually use what he's given us, but we don't think about that. We think it has to be this way. You know what? God is not only the God of the mountains and the valleys and the heavens, he's just God because that's the way he wants it. We didn't grasp his concepts. Like I told the young people yesterday, isn't God great? Where do we get most of our water from rain? The ocean, right? What's the ocean full of? Salt? When it rains, do we have salt water coming out of there? Just pure water, isn't it? Isn't that kind of amazing that God does that? He could have done it a whole lot different way. Imagine salt water coming down from rain clouds and you having a sore. You'll find out, if you didn't know what you had one, you'd find out awfully quick. Okay? Hey, some of those things I think of, I like looking at the sunrises and sunsets when I'm not sleeping in my cab or doing other things. I'm making sure I got everything ready for the day. That's what I meant. Yeah, that's what. Okay? We needed to grasp the concepts. I don't know much about computers. I don't know how to program, but I know how to turn them on. I know how to type and I know how to print things out. See, how much more do you have to know about computers? That's all I need to know. Okay? I probably know a little bit more than that, but I would never let on. See, why? Just in case somebody wants to try to test me and it's going to be epic fail. We need to understand God. We need to know how it rests in our hearts. We need to give people the hope of that. Verse 33, but that which is in the midst of the fools is made known. You know, it doesn't take somebody very long before they blab what they've done. When you drive a cab, you find out what they supposedly done. I've had more than one person, usually males, bragging about what they've done in their lives. And I'm sitting there, I'm bored. When I was driving nights, I had, trying to think of a good word so I don't get myself or Pastor Stewart into trouble. I had, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people in my cab, and I was allowed to have 7 because I had a bigger vehicle back then. And they're talking about they're going to shoot me. They use a different term. And shoot me and do this and do that. And I was sitting there driving them. Just not paying attention. I said, aren't you scared? I said, scared of what? I said, well, what we're talking about. I said, if you want to do it, you would have done it by now. So why should I be scared? And they go, oh, you're cool. I said, well, yeah. As long as you pay me, I'm going to be cool. And they look at me and said, my attitude changes when you don't have any money at the end. I'll treat everybody the same until you say you don't have any money, then there's going to be issues. And with my size, I can get away with having the attitude. But they make themselves known. You don't think people don't like to brag about, look at all the idiots that are once again on YouTube. Look at me, look what I've done, crash, fail. Why would you want to put that on the internet or on YouTube? Why would you want to put that out there? Some people just can't keep from putting their foot in their mouth. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 3. Yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him. He saith to everyone that he is a fool. He makes it known. Look at me. I'm an idiot. I'm a fool. I'm a dummy. And I've seen a lot of people that have a tendency to drink a little too much. And boy, you're talking about if they're a little bit on this side of being a little foolish, put a little bit of alcohol on them, and they become way dumb. And there's some things that if I thought about it, I might be coming up with some stuff. I try to forget about that stuff as quick as I can. You know, here's a statement that somebody used to say, silence is one of the hardest arguments to handle. I don't get that one. Somebody said something to me, my mouth has to open up. But if somebody doesn't say anything, you can't get to them. You sit there. I cannot count how many times someone has gotten, and I already went over that, so we can skip that verse 34. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. No, righteousness exalteth the nation, wouldn't that be great? Think about this. Why was Great Britain a great nation at one point? And what did it produce? Greatest book ever. The missionaries and pastors and evangelists in the Bible. And God says, well, because you actually did what you're supposed to do, here you go. Why did the United States become great? It wasn't because of the pilgrims. It wasn't because we're Jewish Christian nation. Can't get that other word out of my mouth. It's like omniscious. I'm not science. I can't say that. I can't say it the other way. I can't say it, so I put on my science. I go, yeah, Shannon had to rescue me last night. You mean, yes, I can't say it. I try. It's like, I know how to pronounce it. I just can't get it out of my mouth. Well, why was the U.S. great? Not because we were founded by anybody. You know, it's because people that came over here loved God and wanted to praise Him and serve Him in the way they knew how. That's why we became a great nation, not because of this person or that person. And it's a good thing that we did, you know. We produced a lot of people. We produced a lot of people that went out and seen people saved. You know, many times Israel was exalted because of what they did. You know, in the book of Judges, everybody looks at, well, look how many times it says, and they did that which was right in their own eyes. They did that which was right in their own eyes. That's mentioned a few times in the book of Judges. But you know what? We like to look at that, but we don't look like, but people fail to look at the other way. How many times do they exalt themselves to get righteous? To get right. That is an important thing. You know, everybody sins. Everybody does that which is wrong. The thing is when a nation does that which is right, and that's more important. We, in the United States, we have a problem. Many, many problems. Drugs, alcohol, prescription or otherwise. Now the big thing, we have enough problems with street drugs. We have a big problem with just pharmaceutical drugs. And it's not what's being prescribed, it's how they're using them. Me being a silly person, I thought they were abusing the Oxycontin, the strong stuff. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know they were crushing it up and sniffing it or shooting it. I thought they were just, you know, taking it in pill form because that's what my podiatrist was scared of me doing. After a year and a half of 90 pills, he was afraid I was going to get hooked on my Oxycontin. A year and a half later, I said, I need another prescription. Oh, I don't want to get hooked. I said, this is my only prescription, doc. And he said, nope, can't have it. It's like, oh, and I understood because he was probably with some of the rules and regulations. He couldn't, I just wanted it so every once in a while I could actually fall asleep without being in pain. I understood, but I didn't understand that they were, it's like, why would you, that's just, but I guess it's because of the time restraints on the drugs that get done away with question. It's like, why would you want to do that? But we, at one time, we exalted. Verse 34, but a sin is a reproach to any people. That is so easy. It is a reproach. And I'm not trying to, how to say this without getting myself. Look at the nations of India. They rejected God a long time ago, and look where they're at. Look at the Middle East. They rejected God, the Muslim, Islamic, and other things. Look where they're at. They want everybody to go back to the second and third and fourth centuries. Who wants to go back to not having a car, not having air conditioning, not having a stove? I don't want to go back there. I like the way it is now. Look at Africa also. So a lot of them, they had one time, they had the gospel. The Ethiopian eunuch went back with the truth and just, it's not there anymore. So everybody says sin is a reproach. Yes, it is, but people don't want to admit what they do is a sin. It's always, I might be doing this, but look at that person. You know what? Don't look at the other person. Look at yourself. How can you pull that little sliver out of your brother's eye when you got this big 2x4 in yours? But the other person, I need to look at my life before I look at anybody else's. Before I can do that, I need to go. Now everybody says, how many people have heard that driving and talking on the phone is an issue? Everybody's heard that lately? Okay. No, you never heard about it. Anybody ever heard of the NHTSA? Okay. That is National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. I used to be, and I'm still in, a nationally certified trainer for them. I can go anywhere at any time and teach a defensive driving class for them, and I can get paid for it. Okay. So why don't you do it? Because I don't want to travel. Okay. When they say anywhere, they mean not in Portland. And at one point, the city of Portland recommended me and me only to teach the defensive driving class. You say, why? Because I actually handed in my syllabus. I handed in my tests. I handed in how I did it. And they were impressed because everybody else just handed in the book. I actually showed them what I did. I didn't read out a book. I actually did what I was supposed to. And, they always say, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says the problem is talking on the phone. What they don't admit is the other studies that they did, which is talking to somebody next to you or in your backseat is just as bad as talking on the phone. They never want to admit. How many people have ever seen somebody shaving when they're going down the road? What? No, I've never shaved. Anybody read a book going down the road? I tried a lot of things driving. That is not one of them yet. Yeah. I think I've seen a guy doing that, but I couldn't, it's in the city of Portland, I couldn't really tell. That's where it comes to the problems when you can't tell. It's like, yeah. Doesn't surprise me. Yeah, it's distraction. You sit there, it's the conversation that distracts you. There's many a times you can ask some of the ex-presidents of the board of directors of Radio Cab what I did to them. You're making me mad. Click. I call back. You hung up on me. I said, yeah, I sure did. Click. Then I get a call from the general manager. Did you hang up on? You said, yeah, you want me to hang up on you? He said, I said, you're starting to make me mad, and emotions, heightened emotions will cause you to have problems. He said, when I calm down, I will calm back, and I will do the thing I don't like to do, which is apologize. As I told the teens a couple weeks ago, I like living my life so I don't have to apologize. I said, why is that? If I don't have to apologize, you know what that means? I haven't offended anybody. That means I'm doing that which is right. I still don't like your term of righteousness. I know it's true. I just don't doing right all the time. Doing right, that's fine. That last part, it's like a lot of definitions. Everybody likes a part of it, but when you go to the full definition, it makes it kind of tough. Now, sin is a reproach to any people. We see what happened in Genesis chapter 19 with Sodom and Gomorrah. We see what happened with Egypt in Exodus chapter 12 when they had their issues. Isaiah chapter 14 talks about Babylon and their problems. And Zephaniah chapter 2 talks about Nineveh and having their issues. Now, after Jonah goes to Nineveh, sees the greatest revival ever, what happens to him a few years later? They're gone. They're over with. They're destroyed. Why? Because he didn't do that which was to be done. 14:35. The king's favor is toward a wise servant. It's always good to have a wise servant. It's always good to have the people that are smart enough to do their own job. Pastor Stewart said he wasn't a micromanager. Neither was I. I was a microaggressive manager. Yes. Yes, I was one of those. I had a nickname at Dumbo's Pizza, and it wasn't a nice one. I can't repeat it. Okay? I made About six great managers in training quit when they got to me. Why? They didn't want to work. Okay. My people came in, they got their assignments. When I say microaggressive, if you did your job, I left you alone. If you didn't do your job, and I had this gal, her name was Jamie. She didn't spell it right, but her name was Jamie. J-A-M-M-I-E. How you get Jamie out of that, I don't know. And she came in one day, and I was a little aggressive with her because she wanted to train people. She wanted to do stuff. And that's okay. Let's see how good you're at following orders. And I ordered about, 500 boxes. And every box had to have a now hiring and a coupon on it. I said, you got an easy job today. She said, oh, good. You just got to top all the boxes that came in. She says, okay. Usually I ordered about 200. I said, there's 500 right back there. Have fun. And by the way, you're the first one to the phones. Just to see what she would do. And she goes, I said, any questions? Just seeing what she would do. No? Okay. You know where the stuff's at. Phone rings. That's one. That was corporate policy. If a phone rings once, you have to say it's one when nobody's going. That's two. I said, I better not hear three. What would you have done if you heard three? Nothing. Just see, she got the second ring and half hour later, she tells one of her friends that came in, I got to do all these. I'm sitting back and because it's kind of slow and I'm going, okay, why don't you be wise and ask the right questions? That's what God wants us to do every once in a while is God, why is this in the Bible? Why is this? And she said, Raymond says I got to do all these before I leave. Still waiting for the right question. And the other gal comes in, her name was Jennifer. And she says, you make an order? I said, yeah. And I raised my voice. I didn't say you're going to ask for help. Okay? See, when I say micro, I push my people so if I was never there, they could do the job themselves. I didn't want them to be reliant on me. And that's being wise. And she comes back and she wasn't a mother at the time, but she gave me the mother look. Okay. If you've never seen your mother give you that look, you've been very fortunate. Okay. I've gotten that look from some younger females around here that are not mothers yet. And I'm going, oh boy. And it's like, ah, okay. And that means I stepped a little bit over the line. But we need to be in favor of the king. We need to be wise. We need to be thinking for ourselves. It's always good to listen and to get educated by other people. But once again, we need to study for things of ourselves. Turn to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 12. The king's wrath is as a roaring lion, but his favor is as dew upon the grass. Say, how good is that? Well, you know what? It's always good when there's some fresh water. It's always good when grass can grow. It's always good when the plants can get the water and the nutrients they need to do. You know, why does it seem like there's always a teacher's pet? Is there really, you know, you children don't go to public school. You don't know what that is. Okay? And for the people that actually got educated in the public schools, there's always this one student that always seemed to be the teacher's favorite person. And then there's students like me that like to sit in the back of the class and hide. Because you say, why did you like to hide? Because I didn't like to study. I like to study 5 minutes before class, and it was never the right things. It's always good for growth, always good for nutrients and refreshing and doing well. You know why those children were the teacher's pet? Because they did what they were supposed to do. They sought the favor of the king, the favor of the teacher. They were a wise servant. They did what they were supposed to do. I would love to have the teenagers and everybody study what we're going to be doing the next week and be ready to go and say, hey, I thought about it this way. I like when somebody shows me something that they see for the first time in the Bible. And say, why is that important? Because they actually are reading the Bible. They're actually thinking about it. They actually meditating on what they read. They become the wise servant. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them that meat in due season? Who is it? Who's that faithful? The one who does what they're supposed to do. The one who is that faithful servant. The one who is there when he's supposed to be. The one who is always doing what he should be doing. You know, why do you think Joseph got treated like he did with the jailer and Pharaoh? Pastor Stewart, why did he get treated like he did? And then faithful. He came in, he did what he was supposed to. He didn't go about doing other people. He was wise in what he thought about what he's going to do. Okay, this is my job. I got to do this, this, and this. And what does it say about the jailer? He had no idea. And Potiphar too. I forgot about Potiphar. Potiphar, he had no idea what was underneath him. The jailer, pretty much the same way. He had no idea what was going on in the jail. Why? Because he could trust Joseph to do what he was supposed to be doing. He was, as Pastor Stewart said, he's a wise servant. Why did Paul get treated like he did with God? And I don't mean in being all those things that he suffered. Turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Why was he given this special revelation? Why was he chosen above everybody else? I think I probably want to start over sooner. Okay. Galatians chapter 1, certain verse 7, which is not another, but there is be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you that which ye have received, which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And he said before, as so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? Or for that if I should please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Why was he? Why? Because he wasn't worried about what men were going to do. He didn't care what was going to happen to men. He was more worried about how he's going to be showing Jesus Christ. Why was it so important for him? Because he was looking at them. He's walking circumspectly. He was doing the things he was supposed to be doing. See why? He had the problems of trying to make up for time past. In the book of Ephesians, I do believe it's in Ephesians, redeeming the times where the days are evil. What was Paul doing? He's trying to redeem the times for all the times he did evil. And you know about evil? There he goes. He was well behaved. He did what he was supposed to do. He loved the masters. He loved who he was supposed to be. He chose what he was supposed to be doing. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 35, but his wrath is against him that causeth shame. I've been in a lot of jobs. I've been, talked to, chastised, some other terminologies more than once. You know, you writing me up didn't make much matter to me. You know, everybody makes mistakes. I got written up one time because I made a mistake when I went my first real job, which was working in an aluminum foundry. And the shop foreman said, this is kind of stupid to write me up. And the guy who directed me, I said, yeah, I know, but I have to. He goes, what do you mean by that? They had to find something on me. Okay. They weren't trying to fire me. They just want to have something in my file. So, because everybody was certain to dislike me because I never got myself into trouble. Because I behaved myself. I showed up on time. I did my job. I didn't complain. I went home and I fell asleep. You wonder why I fell asleep working in aluminum foundry for a while. You'll find out. Okay, I was actually in okay shape back then. King's wrath is against them, like causes shame. And it's one thing that we know, we always think about this, and we need to realize that how many times do we cause God shame? I understand this is going to talk about the millennial reign, but think about our lives, and this will be coming up with I won't deal with this with the little children, but think about this is, you know, Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I understand this is going to be more leaning toward the millennial reign, but you know what? The people that found favor in the Old Testament are the same type of people that found favor in the New Testament. They're the people that actually did what they were supposed to do. And it's one of those things when you look at it is, well, why? How can we cause some shame? You know, we're not going to turn there, but Esther chapter 7, verse 7. Everybody knows the story about Esther and Haman. What happened to Haman when his little trick was found out? When he was trying to kill Queen Esther's people. Mordecai didn't make a whole, Mordecai said, I'm just going to pray and I'm going to make a, and Esther says, no. You just go pray for a while and I'll go and I'll do what I'm supposed to do. But you know what? His shame, he's going to cause the king shame. Imagine what that would have done to that king, I don't even want to try to pronounce his name. I did the other one. So just a good job. And it's one of those things that was found out every time. How about Ephesians chapter 2 verse 3? We'll end it on this. Ephesians 2, 3. I got some other references, but it goes pretty much over the same things that we just went over. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversations in time past in the lust of the flesh. You want to make the king mad? Turn back to where you came from. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Yeah, that is contrary to Romans chapter 12 verse 1 and 2. And obviously we've been there more than once in the last year. As I tell the teens downstairs, Pastor Stewart likes Romans chapter 12 verses 1 and 2. I like 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Say, why do you like 1 Corinthians chapter 15? It gives a clear account of what the gospel is. That's why I like it. I love this reading that over and over again. And I refer back to it many times. Why? It's a good reminder of me, what he's done for me. Fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and are by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Wow. That's how we disobey God. We just... You know, and the thing is, some people can never get over what they do. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. No matter what we do, God will always have mercy on us. I thank God for that. I thank God that he doesn't punish me for the things I've done. And you say, how merciful is that? Well, mercy is mercy. And when we get up to heaven, we'll realize how merciful he truly was. And I don't think I'll ever understand or ever know. Say, why? Because, you know, I look back and it's like, and it's like, ooh, how did I get here? And it's an amazing thing.